Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints here on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. We've got a great show for you tonight. And before we introduce tonight's guest, just want to mention, if you haven't been to my website recently, DirectLightProductions.com, you may find a new page, we'll call it, because that's what it is. It's a new web page within the site that facilitates reading some articles that I've found during the course of my research across the internet, articles that I think are kind of interesting. I may not agree with everything that's written in these articles, but still they give you the opportunity to look at things from a variety of different writers. And I'm finding now more and more that there's quite a bit of writing about what's actually going on with the world's economic situation, the amount of corruption, and including those that for some reason assumed things were going to be different under an administration headed by Barack Obama. We still have the same non-citizen issues, the illegal alien issues of a president who is really the sitting president of a corporation or a trust, if you want to call it that, that has nothing to do with what you think the United States of America really is. And we get pictures occasionally. In fact, I'm working on a piece diligently to get it out. It's an expose of the photoshopped record or photoshopped genealogy of Barack Obama. And you will absolutely be convinced that there was fraud in the photos, not just in the written documentation, for example, the certificate of live birth or the selective service registration. There were so many mistakes and anomalies and really forgeries committed in these documents that that should cause everyone to put on the brakes, everyone, including the Supreme Court, and they should say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Of course, that's not happening. You're witnessing treason by those in our government and in high administrative positions. Despite what they may say, many of them probably can't prove that they themselves were born here in America. And as you know, I've written a series of articles along those lines. And I'm working on the photos of Obama because the documentation says one thing. And if you think about it, if the photos are bogus, then the documents are bogus. The photos have to be bogus. The two do not coincide with one another. They don't match up. Timelines don't match. And when you do just a cursory examination of the photos, a careful study, you'll see, and you'll see the study that I present, you won't have to do anything but read and look at the photos that I'm going to publish. Now, in respect to that, it was brought to my attention last evening by our guest, Ken Adachi, actually after our show last night, he informed me that he was about to post some very strange, anomalous photos of Michelle and Barack Obama. Now, this is actually a photograph that was published by the British media after Obama landed at Heathrow Airport to meet the Queen of England. And I believe that occurred on April 1st. Now, when you look at the article, and I encourage you to go to Ken's site, educate-yourself.org. Click on Current News, which is at the top of his webpage in the upper left-hand corner. It's a link that takes you to that page in the site. Or you can go to my Breaking Stories page at directlightproductions.com and look for an article entitled Michelle and Barack Obama reveal reptilian baggage. You've got to see these photos that Ken has enlarged and cropped so that you can see some very unique images that are hitching a ride, we'll say. They hitched a ride to London, and they also got to meet the Queen. You've got to see these photos. And I know this topic is difficult for some to grasp, but it is a reality here on planet Earth. And so read Ken's work. Ken's work really is quite remarkable. That's it for public service announcements this evening. It's time to bring tonight's guest on board. I had the privilege about a month ago to appear on his show here on bbsradio.com, Zero Point, which actually is every Saturday. I believe, if I have the time zone correct, it's from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern or 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific time. I almost said Western. We don't have Western time except in the movies. He is a psychologist and actually a very, very nice person. He's awakened to what's going on in the world in terms of politics, religion, society in general, and he's very, very knowledgeable in the area of metaphysics. So I am anticipating this to be quite an interesting interview. My good friend, first time here on Evident Footprints, and hopefully not the last, Dr. Christopher Holmes. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Don. Pleasure to be here.
You got to hear my opening statements about these pictures, and I'm not even going to ask you to comment one way or the other until you've had a chance to see Ken's article.
I'll have a look immediately after the show, and I'm very curious.
Now, there are some anomalies in that picture that resound of a picture that I found on the web, and it was published even in TV commercials, campaign ads for the presidency that showed the same types of anomalies. We're speaking about a 10-year-old Barack Obama sitting with the Lolo Satoru family. Actually, I've determined that these photos are composites. They're fabrications created with digital technology, and I go into quite a lot of detail as to how that's done in the article. And Ken was quite familiar with this, so when he received this photo, he knew exactly what to do. This is going to be shocking to a lot of people, and yet it's very realistic. I mean, cameras don't lie. I'm going to be interested in your thoughts on this article after you've had a chance to read it.
Yeah, I'm very curious, as they say. Yeah.
Well, the last time I was on your show, which was I think about a month ago, I was going through some family issues. My father was very sick and passed away on April 1st, and I focused basically on my work, but tonight is about your work. I want to hear and I want the listeners to know what your background is and how you came into getting your own radio show. What motivated you to bring the message that you're currently speaking? And we're going to hear about that as we progress.
Yeah, maybe I can just fill in my background a little bit. I graduated with my PhD in clinical psychology about 30 years ago, and have always been interested in the subject of human consciousness, because as a psychotherapist, everyone talks about like awakening of consciousness or bringing the unconscious into the consciousness and so on. So for the past 30 years, the study of consciousness has been my main focus, and that's like the fundamental enigma in modern psychology and science still. So through that time, after studying Western Western psychology. I began with something called the Gurdjieff-Uspensky Fourth Way Teaching. Have you ever heard of the name of the mystic Gurdjieff?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, okay. So I for the last 30 years, have worked with his teaching and practices, and then that led on to my study of yogic, Vedic teachings, and Kabbalah, and esoteric Judaism, and the secret doctrine of Madame Blavatsky, and a wide range of mystical and esoteric teachings. Also trying to understand this question of what is human consciousness. So through that period, I was a university professor for 12 years, and then I worked in the prison system for 12 years. And then the last 4 or 5 years, I founded an institute called Zero Point Institute for Mystical and Spiritual Science. And I've published 6 books on my investigations of consciousness and explorations of the secret doctrine and other esoteric teachings. So that's kind of my background and interest. And I would say my most important book is called The Heart Doctrine, Mystical Views of the Origin and Nature of Human Consciousness. And the most important thing I discovered is that all of modern psychology and science firstly dismissed the idea that human beings have a spiritual or soul nature. We've had this materialist dogma of Darwinian evolutionary theory for the past century. And that's been intentional, because the elites who control the world are very interested in the occult and metaphysical and paranormal. And in all of the Western psychology, all the scientists assume that human consciousness is somehow produced out of the brain, the neurological processes of the brain, although no one's ever been able to explain how or where consciousness is produced. But everybody assumes that it's produced by the brain in the head. And I call that the head doctrine. And that contrasts with what we are taught through all of the spiritual psychologies of humankind, including Christianity, Judaism, Islam, the secret doctrine, which is the heart doctrine, that the origins of consciousness within the human being originates out of the heart. And that consciousness in the body isn't simply in the head. It originates out of the heart, and it circulates, it's connected to the blood flow in the body. So consciousness originates out of the heart, it's connected to the blood flow. And see, there's so many wrong understandings I realized over time in Western psychology. And most importantly, people in ordinary life acquire what I would call a false consciousness system. And this is conditioned into the mind in the head. So people's consciousness becomes centered in the mind in the head. But in mystical teachings, self-realization is defined as the dissolution of the false mind into the lotus of the heart. Mm. That if we can awaken, then we awaken and experience that within the heart, and that we want to attain to this level of self-consciousness, which involves the awakening of the heart and then living in that heart consciousness. And it's interesting, I have thought over your last shows over the last weeks, I've seen you speak from the heart so much and kind of have that growing realization in yourself of what that means. Sometimes
yes.
You sound as though you've had some quite enlightening experiences over the last period.
Yes, if I may say so, and I don't mean to cut you off here.
No.
I want to comment on what you say or are saying, because I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, and that's by no means putting limitations on another's faith. This is not about attacking one's faith, but it's about revealing the truth. And when you mentioned the blood, what came to mind is, you know, the blood is supported by the light it receives, whether it's the light of consciousness through prayer, through meditation, through breathing, The breath itself is life, through water, through the things that we eat, and even via the sun and the stars and the planets. And we don't sense those things as much as we do. I mean, you know, when you're standing in brilliant sunlight, when the sun is baking you, or when you go on a vacation to a tropical area and you live in the north where it's usually cold and cloudy and you're in this intense heat, you sense that energy. And so there are different places on the planet where this is more visible, or if you remove yourself from a mundane location, usually your home, your hometown, the area where you work, the immediate places you travel, you become accustomed to the energy in that area, and you become accustomed to all the vibrations that flow with that area. That's why it's being, let's say, promoted that one should eat the foods grown in the area where one lives, because they vibrate at the same frequency as you do, because they're subjected to the same energies. And so they're growing and with a consciousness of what you need in your body. And now that's a bit out there for some people, but you see, that's the information that comes through to the heart. And to support what you're saying about the mind and the emphasis on the mind, those that practice occult metaphysics, and I say in secret, those that intentionally hide these secrets from the rest of the masses have the intention of blocking that flow. Everything they do is designed to keep us from knowing the heart center. So I just want to confirm what you're saying from my perspective.
Yeah, I'll pick up a couple of things you've commented upon. One is this equation of consciousness with light. This is profoundly important, and in states of mystical experiences or spiritual experiences, one thing you directly experience is being illuminated inwardly. There is an inner light source, and that's why we have, you know, enlightenment, or seeing the light, or living in the light, because consciousness is like light, and there's an inner source of light. And I began like 25 years ago to study the Bhagavad Gita of India. And mm-hmm. Lord Krishna says that the self, the individual self, is called the Jiva Atma. And it's described as essentially a spiritual spark. It's like a God spark. The Kabbalist has the same idea. There's a divine spark. This is an emanation, a God spark,
yes.
And it's connected to the heart, and this element is inherently self-illuminating like the sun. Okay, so the self within the heart is the sun of the body, and there's the light of the self within the heart. And when one experiences awakening states of consciousness, one directly experiences that inward illumination.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so this is...
Oh, go ahead.
The other thing I was just going to comment upon also is the significance of the breath, because the breath is how a human being is ensouled through the actions of the heart and through the breath and the lungs and the oxygenation of the body. And in the Bible it says God breathes into man a living soul.
Mm-hmm.
And in Kabbalistic teachings there are five levels to the self. And each of those levels is connected to a different level of the breath. So
yes.
The breath is very interconnected to the soul life. And people who experience things like anxiety and depression, what happens is they chronically hold their breath and don't breathe. So I work with people a lot, like learning to breathe more from your abdomen and through your whole body instead of holding your breath. Most people don't breathe. The more deeply you breathe, it expands your aura. It like mm-hmm. feeds your soul life. But people in a state of fear, they hold their breath. If something
yes.
happens in the room, everybody in that room they'll hold their breath until it's over, and then they'll let down and they'll breathe again.
Yes,
so breathing is very important, learning to live in your soul life. Your soul is connected to your breath.
Yes. I wanted to comment on, and this is along the same lines of what you're talking about. A couple of days ago, I was talking to one of my guests, Greg Pappas. This was actually off the show, off the air, so to speak. And we were talking about the name of God. And I said, you know, we have all of these different names for God, for Christ, or Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, Esau Emmanuel. There are all these different names, and it really doesn't matter what name we use in the language that we speak. There's an interesting characteristic to everyone on the planet, regardless of what language they speak and what faith they are. And that's when they sigh, they make a sound. They go,
yeah.
They all make that same sound, which is very much like the Indian Buddhist Aum, or just the Aum, or the Aum, spelling it A-U-M, okay? Or maybe it's modified as we move further away from the Eastern mystical disciplines, and we say or hum, like that. But that's probably the sound of God's name within that sound, and it's inherent that we all say that name. On some level, we know that name, yet. Is it conscious? Well, when one is learning to meditate, let's say in India, in the Indian disciplines, studying the various types of yoga, and one meditates and one chants or one does mantras, toning, for instance, is the Western version of that. People say a name, and they repeat that name over and over. And the reason for doing so is it puts them on the same frequency, or it makes the connection with that frequency. Do you agree with that?
A complex subject I don't fully understand, but I think there's something significant in the name of God in different traditions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I respect all the different religious traditions myself.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I realize is this idea of the heart doctrine. It's what combines all the different religions. See, that's mm-hmm. what Jews and Muslims and Christians all share, is the heart doctrine teaching. And in our time today, and these world elites, see, they want people to believe that the world's conflicts are created by religious differences, like Muslims, that radical Muslims and people hating Jews, but really, this isn't the problem at all, and that it's those of us of Christian, Muslim, and Jews, we need, those of us of heart need to come together to deal with this terrible situation, what's happened mm-hmm. on our planet in terms of, I mean, we have a severely psychopathologically disturbed criminal elite who have taken over our countries. They've undermined our democracies. They're selling our countries off to the international banksters. They're involved in all kinds of perversions and pedophilia and sex rings, and they deal all the drugs. Our whole societies have been totally taken over by the scum of the earth, in mm-hmm. a way, these lower types of human beings. These are people, they talk about a new world order, but their new world order isn't new world at all. It's an old world psychiatric disorder. That's what mm-hmm. I call it. That's what they're trying to sell, is the old world psychiatric disorder. I mean, these people have been around for past centuries. They've killed hundreds of millions of people. You know, you can take someone like Henry Kissinger. He's responsible for, involved in the murder of almost 100 million people. You know, a dozen times more than all Jews who were supposed to have died in the Second World War. These people are severely psychologically, psychiatrically disturbed. They believe they have some inherent right because of their false ego in their head. They're megalomaniacs. They believe they have the inherent right to be able to commit genocide against people and to spread illnesses among people. They'll spray you. Imagine, what is the psychology of someone who will spray you from the air with chemtrail spraying and give you Alzheimer's and your kids' diseases and poison your water and poison your land? What, there's something severely psychiatrically disturbed by people who would do such things out of greed.
Yeah.
The greed, sexual perversion. They say the three lower the motives of man, number one, two, and three, are money, sex, and power. And that's how they've ascended to their positions of powers, through that they acquiring all the money and the sex and the power, like those are their aphrodisiacs, and they never attain to the level of the awakening of the human heart, which is the next level in human evolution. These people have kept humankind at the lowest levels intentionally. And what human beings have to attain is to the level of the heart, which is the fourth chakra and the fourth level of human evolution.
Yes.
And these people haven't attained that. And that's why they have no compassion for other people. You see, their hearts are, they're contracted about the heart. So they're heartless. They can do cruel things to other people just to make money.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. Like, they, you know, I couldn't imagine doing the devious things. Imagine putting viruses and poisons into inoculations and all the insane things they do. They, in every aspect of our society, we have a world ruled by insane people. They put poisons in our food. They're poisoning your water. You're poisoning your air. They poison the media. The media is a complete fraud. You know, they poisoned people's minds, they took over the educational system, they corrupted the police forces, the military, they've done it. They, you know, J. Edgar Hoover said, he once said, one of my favorite quotes, the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. And that's what it's like. You wake up and you realize, my God, what's become of us as a nation and as a people that we've allowed these kind of criminal psychopathic elite to ascend to the positions of power, not only in the United States, it's in Canada, England, Israel. It's just terrible what's happened. You know, the human race is at, we're at a precarious point in our history where, you know, we're either going to have, you know, a totalitarian fascist state under these psychopaths, or else we're going to take the world back from them and put them in prisons where they can receive the kind of psychiatric care they need. These people are severely psychiatrically disturbed. I'm a clinical and forensic psychologist. I worked in prisons for 12 years. I'm used to offender types and psychopathy and what it all means. These people are severely psychiatrically disturbed, and we have to come to grips with that.
Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here. I've remarked to you once or twice that you sound like somebody that's listened to this show. And I certainly don't have your scientific or your medical acumen. I do understand these things, and I think I understand more because I look at all of these things. When you're searching for the truth and you start finding bits and pieces of it, it's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. And I use this description a lot in reference to my connection with the Creator through music. Because I do know that I operate from the heart center when I'm playing music, when I'm writing music or producing music, even listening to it. I can tune in to what inspired another to compose and perform the music that they've created. And you can't help but honor that quality in others. And so when I hear you say all these things, I can't disagree with what you're saying. Yet you're coming from a background where you were trained to assist people that have problems in these areas. And my interest is, up until I became a researcher, it was in a lot of areas: music, metaphysics, religion, the arts, athletics, lots of things. I'm sort of a multidimensional person in that way. And if I set my mind to doing something, anything, I can learn it and become quite good at it. So I'm able to relate to what you're saying through experience or through what I have learned following that path. Sometimes it's called the school of hard knocks. Yet, when you listen to me talk or you listen to the guests that I have on this show, do you hear a recurring theme amongst the various guests that they're really tuned in to what's going on in their own way? Do you get that feeling?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And your guests see it at the importance of awakening, like people waking up. Like, there's been this huge false consciousness system which has been intentionally conditioned into people's minds. And you have to break out of that conditioning and wake up. And then you begin to realize, my God, what's happening? You know, they are spraying me with chemtrail, all these things. 9/11 was an inside job. Oklahoma City, London train bombings. These people have been doing all these devious things, and they camouflage it all and sell it through their media. The whole thing's a complete fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. You know, there is this huge conspiracy, and it's gone on for centuries, but you know, these people are in control of our countries at this time. The people who committed 9/11 in the United States are currently in power. That's the problem. You know, like they take us over there pretending it's Osama bin Laden and his reindeers brought down the two towers, but they didn't. You know, and now these people are in control of your country. And they have all these biological weapons and all these things. The American public have just been deceived about everything.
Mm-hmm.
About everything that your government does and all the black ops operations, all the criminal things done to the American people.
Yeah.
And all the lies that you've been told, as we've been told here in Canada. It's unbelievable. You wake up to this. It's a nightmare. These people are psychiatrically disturbed. They seriously are.
Mm-hmm. Now, in light of all that, and I think this is really fortuitous that I was able to get you on the show, especially this week, because this past weekend I had, it's something that's been transforming over the past 4 or 5 months, but this past weekend I made a decision that there's a point to where you can awaken people. If their intention is to awaken, or if they're waking up, you know, they have a way of finding BBS radio. They may have never listened to internet radio, and they'll be online, and they may be looking up a topic, and then all of a sudden they find an article that's something that pertains to what they're interested in. And then they come across the name of a guest, or maybe even my name, and they tune into the show. And they start responding through email, or they may call in from time to time, or they may just impact others to come and listen without really checking in with the show, so to speak. So we don't know specifically that they're there, but we can feel they're there and they're listening. Now, those are the people who we are talking to. We can't talk to the people who are asleep, who are not tuning in, who have no interest in knowing these realities. In fact, in terms of the big picture, do we even have a right, do you think? And I'm posing this question to you, too. I have my own feelings about this, but do we really have a right in a free will universe to compel others to wake up and smell the coffee, to understand what's really going on?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I had no idea of any of this until 2.5 years ago when my youngest son, 15 years old, asked me if I'd seen the movie Loose Change, an expose of 9/11. And I'm just not politically oriented. You know, I'm a family person. I worked in the jails. I had no idea of what was going on in our society, the complete corruption of our society. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, my son got me to watch that movie. As soon as I saw it, I knew that the whole thing was fraud. Okay? And it was an absolutely shocking experience. I had profound mystical experiences through this period, and then began just learning more and more through all the internet, and you know, now I've studied this constantly for the last 2.5 years as part of my work, is to learn about the new world psychiatric disorder. I was an okay person before my son showed me that movie. You know, I was going along trying to live a productive life and kind to people in my life and so on. I deserved an opportunity to be woken up. You know, it wasn't fair what was done to keep me dumbed down. How much the newspapers and TV is lying all the time. Everything they say is a lie. Mm-hmm. And then as I woke up and I realized all these lies, and you attain spiritual knowledge in a way, and then you begin to see the lies. Like I turn on CNN now, it's like it's a soap opera. I can just see right through these people. It's having that spiritual discernment, and I can just see the lies on the media. It's just so evident to me, whereas before I was completely oblivious to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to say, no, we owe it to people. We need to be the watchmen. We need to be the elders. We need to wake people up. We need to assume that role. And you know, some people won't want to hear because of their fear and their contraction. But in a way, we have to have courage, which means to have a new heart. We have to have courage and to be trying to spread the truth. And I mean, what would you do? The way I feel, my neighbors are all being poisoned. Like, if you knew someone was going to be poisoned, would you want to tell them? You're just going to keep quiet? You don't want to disrupt their sleep? No, in a way, we got to shout it from the rooftops. We need the Paul Revere's, you know, to spread the truth. The enemy's upon us. They've taken over our nation. We got to wake people up and arouse people of good heart to kind of stand up and let's take our nations back from these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, we've been putting this message out on this show for close to 2 years, okay? Now, and there are many, many others that have been doing this far longer than I have. But I came to that place where I realized I have to write. Now I have to speak. I have a show. I'm obviously doing that, and I'm agreeing with what you're saying. I'm speaking in terms of universal law that everyone has a free choice. In other words, there may be those that came here to stay asleep, if you get my meaning.
Well, it's funny. People in life have this philosophy that people have free choice. Okay, now from my understanding, one only has free will if one attains to your higher self, and then you can have free will. Most people in life, they have no free will. They're completely conditioned automatons.
Yes, yes.
They can't control their thoughts, their emotions, their actions. They're completely conditioned in a passive state. Mm-hmm. So in that state, the talk of free choice or will is just an illusion. It's only if one wakes up that you can attain to will. We have to attain to true will, higher will within ourselves. So I don't see people as having free choice. They have no choice. They're like automatons, robots. Mm-hmm. And we have to awaken them out of that condition.
Yeah.
Because this has been intentionally fostered upon them.
Yeah. Now, my show, just as a, let's say, a method of doing what you're describing, started out simply describing political issues and social issues and dabbling in other areas. I say dabbling, and I would change the topic from night to night. And I started getting into a place where the message was being received, and I knew the numbers of the listening audience was growing, and I was hearing back from people there, and you could see on the internet itself the evidence of that. And so I intuitively began a series of monologues interspersed with some guest appearances, and we tried to keep the topics along the same lines. And we were dealing, you may have heard some of those shows, we were dealing with consciousness. We were dealing with matters of the heart. We were dealing with the heart mind that's been created through the propagandized media. And we've talked about the metaphysical aspects of what happens in healing and changing the light body and the etheric body and the chakras and going through all of those various aspects. Now, there are some fundamental laws, let's say, in yoga. For instance, if one opens the kundalini or opens the flow of kundalini through one's body, one's mind, and they're not prepared for it, that it can do damage. So the concept of my show was to graduate higher and higher in frequency and broadening of the topics and handling things that really challenge this belief system, because that's what we're living in, is a system based on assuming things are a certain way because we're told they are, not because we know they are through this heart experience that you've described. And I think, in a sense, I don't want to say that there's a danger, because that pretends or that suggests that I am operating out of fear. But I'm being considerate of those that have a hard time grasping all this, because I could say, you want to know who your leaders are? Go to my website and read my articles from the Idaho Observer. And these people haven't read a book or a newspaper or anything, you know, even a TV guide in years. And so they don't have the means, the wherewithal to even move along that path. And yet, you know, we try, this is why I do radio, is to, they'll listen to an extent. They may not understand everything that's being said. And sometimes I don't understand what I'm saying, because I'm not really saying it. It's something else saying it through me, if you know what I mean. So,
well, I mean, there are so many valuable aspects to your show and your varied guests, and, you know, you do very important original research, you know, around 9/11 and, you know, Dr. K on and the Buffalo plane crash and your investigations of Obama. Like, we need people doing this research. You know, so that's a whole valuable aspect to your program. And then you have moral integrity. Like, you're someone who has moral principles, who wakes up and sees the insanity, and you speak and your guests speak from the heart. I see people in the truth movement, in a way, these people have a new heart, because they've kind of broken out of that false consciousness system of the mind. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of have courage. I mean, I sink into fear at times. I've been in peril at different times for things I've done and do. You know, yeah. It's hard not to, you know. I mean, in a way, I know there's existence beyond death, and I'm not really afraid of death, but I don't want to die. I want to live my life and continue on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So at times I sink into fear, and that comes upon us, you know. But I also realize that for all of us, what's important here is whether or not we save our souls or attain our souls. See, most people in life think everybody has a soul and you kind of live happily ever afterwards. But that's not so. And many people are losing their souls, and they'll experience hellish conditions upon their death. And those of us, when we wake up, in a way, we have to be strong and face this, for that's what we need to do as spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, we're like Arjuna on the battlefield in the Gita, in you know, facing these warring armies where the forces of light stand up to take on the forces of darkness, and it's an epic story, what's happening. I mean, think of what's happening today on planet Earth. Think of that as God's story. Okay, now, what human story is anywhere near the same class of vision? Even Lord of the Rings pales by comparison with what's happening in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, here you are, you have these psychopathic world elites, mass murderers and perverts, and they're poisoning the people around. I mean, it's crazy. It's insane.
Yes.
It's unbelievable, but it's true.
Now, there are millions of our brothers from space, from other realms in our solar system, in our galaxy, and likely some from outside our galaxy watching what's going on here. I mean, I know this. Many of my guests know this. You may know this yourself. And they're also witnessing something I'm seeing, and this may be the most important question I ask you tonight in terms of these problems that you're talking about. Do you see this, what you call the new psychopathic order, is it? Or the old psychopathic
order? The old world psychiatric disorder.
Okay. Okay. I'll have to remember that. Christopher Story calls it the new underworld order in one of his books. And he bases his work on the financial aspects. I've mentioned his work from time to time on this show, in fact. And I agree with a large portion of it. Do you see this system collapsing, this ramping up of everything so rapidly that they're fearful, and they are the authors of fear, along with Satan? So
they need to be fearful because people are waking up, and it's like George Bush Sr. once said to a White House reporter, if the people knew what I did to this nation, they would be chasing me down the street to lynch me. And if people woke up and realized as they realize what's been done to them, not just 9/11 and all that, those frauds, what's been done to the American people, all the lies of all the different wars, how they've treated your servicemen, the poisoning of the air, the food, everything, all the lies. When people wake up and realize what's been done to them, these people should be fearful, because I think in 3 years' time they're going to be in FEMA camps. I think there need to be different FEMA camps, one for the media people, one for government employees, one Monsantos, where all the Monsantos people can go and they have all the genetically modified food they can have. And I think it's a question, who's going to end up in those FEMA camps? And it's us or them. And that's how I see it. Like, it can't go on. They have done so much destruction to the world, throughout the world. It just can't go on. We have to take the world back, or we're going to have an Orwellian nightmare world. These people are so psychiatrically disturbed. They'll torture people. They'll abuse people. They'll steal everything. They'll impoverish people. They plan to commit genocide. It's serious. We have a group of homicidal maniacs. That's what they are.
Yes.
So I think between now and 2012, by 2012, I think what I'm hoping and praying will happen is that we'll take the world back from these people, and we'll take the wealth of the world back from them. They'll lose all their properties for all their multiple crimes. I mean, the Rockefeller family has done so many crimes against humanity. All their assets should be seized for funding and participating in terrorist activities. People need to wake up to realize that terrorists are not Muslims. They never were. There are these hidden elements within our own society. These are the terrorists. And these people all need to have all their assets seized. They need to be put away safely in prisons, and then be allowed to have 9/11 truth hearings and world truth hearings, and as these people come forth and speak the truth, they be allowed to reintegrate into society again, depending upon the severity of their crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them never did leave their confinement.
Yeah.
No, I just don't. We just can't go on like this, trying to live while they carry forward their agendas. They're just becoming more and more radical. They don't want people to have vitamins and minerals. They don't want people to have organic farms. They're going to impoverish you and sicken the people of, you know, we have to fight back. Not physically fight, but through waking people up and bringing about, we need to appeal to our military and police and intelligence services to finally obey their oaths of honor. You know, mm-hmm. to protect their nations against enemies, foreign and domestic. The whole thing, like, you just look at what the United States is doing now. You know, you're responsible as a nation for the murder of 1.5 million people in the Middle East. They're completely criminal wars, completely. You've invaded sovereign nations. If the United States want to see who the terrorists are, look in the mirror. You know, your forces have been taken over by these terrorist elements, and we need honorable men and women in our services, in the military, in the intelligence community, to take back our nations.
I agree. Now we have been imparting this information. In fact, you quoted J. Edgar Hoover making his well-known statement about the, you know, if the people, once the people find out what's going on, they're not going to believe what it is because it's so monstrous. And
yeah.
and George H.W. Bush's statement about they'll chase us down the streets and hang us from the nearest lamppost, that those types of comments are admissions of the guilt. They're admissions of the guilt, and yet everyone stands by the sidelines like, if he really said that, what does he mean? Does he feel, what did he do? You know, we're giving that information. That's what I've been writing. This is the person that claims to be this, and this is who they really are. And I was able to document that, you see. So it's not a fiction. It's not a theory, like they like to call it. It is what it is.
Yeah, these people took over the media intentionally as their propaganda piece, as their means of propaganda. And that's what they've done. People have no idea of the real history, of our own history. They took over the educational system and developed curricula to keep us dumbed down. Like, mm-hmm. you study economics at university, and you never learn out how do they create money. Okay, like you never taught that, and then Ron Paul comes forward. Well, you know, we can take back the Federal Reserve, like, but you would never be taught that in economics. Mm-hmm. It's like they won't let you know that. They won't let you know about free energy devices. They won't let you use alternative health care that works, mm-hmm. because they have all their petrochemical pharmaceuticals, which murder 1/3 of the people who die in the United States every year. Mm-hmm. 1/3 of people die due to their pharmaceutical drugs. And they experiment on people. I mean, they do all kinds of insane, cruel things just to make money.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and you know, that word money comes up every time. I have people in the banking industry and in the real estate industry and other businesses asking me, where are you finding this financial information, or how are you finding out what they're doing, or how do you know this is really true, what they're doing? And I said, well, first of all, they're committing crimes, okay? Yet they're creating laws that virtually anything we do is a crime, yet they're committing the crimes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a dichotomy in that. And then I tell these people, look, you're trained to do things a certain way, just like they're dumbing down the people to be good little gold miners for them. In essence, that's what we all are, whether we realize it or not. We're gold miners for the Anunnaki, okay? And they're minions. And I'll leave it that statement there. But what I tell them is, look, I'm interested in seeing where, why these things are this way. Not so much because I'm interested in economics or the financial community or the stock markets. I had to learn what these things are. But in the process of learning what they are, I'm seeing that they're doing it illegally. They're doing it off the record. No one's paying taxes. All the money's leaving the country. They're stealing our pension funds. They're stealing our public programs. They're stealing grants. They're stealing public projects. They're stealing everything. They've stolen.
And while they're stealing it, they present it to you on TV, so it all seems quite reasonable to you as what's needed for the nation. And
exactly.
They play on your sympathies and play on, or, you know, rally around your government. And they play people and they laugh at people. The whole thing's a fraud.
Yeah.
And, you know, see, one doesn't automatically know all of this. Like, I was completely oblivious, as I was saying, until 2.5 years ago. And then since then, you know, I've watched all the Alex Jones movies and listened to his show and your show and RBN and other networks. And, like, there's a lot to put together because everything you ever thought you knew was a lie. Like the Oklahoma, the Kennedy assassinations, Martin Luther King assassinations, the causes of the war, the causes of airplane crashes, everything you've been told all the way along has been a lie. The Holocaust, going to the moon, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a complete fraud.
Even the elections and the hanging chads.
yeah, the elections. And who cares who wins the elections? You got Skull and Bones member one and Skull and Bones member two. Like the whole thing, you know, they own both parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one big illusion, isn't it, Chris?
It is. And the only way to learn the truth is, like, once you wake up, you can watch the media again, because then you can just see the lies and you know, it's still valuable to watch it. But you have to seek alternative, like, internet sources. At the moment, or you know, other movies. And there's also other good books. You can put it together if you read and study. I mean, it's a research area, you know, and people like yourself and I mean, we've studied it for years now. You know, I consider it my full-time job now. How can we go about normal life when there's a group of psychopathic mass murderers trying to destroy our nations and our children and our grandchildren? And, you know, it's insane. We have to take our country back. Until we do, everything else is child's play.
Mm-hmm.
I can't watch hockey games anymore. Like, who cares? It's just a fraud.
Yeah. But all professional sports are just designed as entertainment and diversions from reality. That's all they are.
Well, it could have been fun, like, in a way. I mean, I liked them, and it was fun. But then when you realize what's really going on in the world, it can't be fun anymore. It's like now, we got to let it go. Who cares? You know, the Hollywood movies now, like, most of them are just such trash. Most of them. They're terrible. You know,
yeah.
So a lot of these things fall away. You know, I'd like to go back to having fun and watching hockey games and rooting for my home team, but I can't now because of what's happening, the importance of it.
Yeah.
We're in end times. Like, we're either, you know, going to have the mass murder of millions of North Americans over the next months and years. That is a very feasible possibility at this point. There'll be millions of people murdered in the States. They want to reduce the world's population. They put it on paper. It's public documents. They're really doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so astonishing when you wake up and you see it's even in their planning documents. You know, a guy builds the Georgia Guidestones. He puts up, you know, dedicated to the 500 million people who can live on this planet in a sustainable way. You know, like, what's he know that we don't?
Yeah. Yeah. To me, these are symbolic gestures that demonstrate the amount of fear that these people have themselves. As I said, they're the authors of fear, or they work for the author of fear and the author of illusion and deception. and they are the epitome of the lowest frequency that can exist. They're actually below the frequency of an earthquake, which is 0 to 2 hertz usually. So, you know, I mean, that's pretty low. You can't hear that. You can only feel it. And I think I see signs of their system imploding, that people are waking up, not in the numbers I think you and I would like to see, or our guests and likely our listeners, because they tune in regularly, and I wonder if they're thinking, how many people are listening to the show? And I wonder how many of them pick up their phone and say, you got to tune into the show. I really wonder. I mean, it's you know the responsibility of preparing the information and discerning what's going on and coming out with the right information, or opening yourself to the source that the information flows through you. And you see all the different reactions that people have, you know, the glassy-eyed look, the rolling of the eyes, and the frustration. Some of them turn red, you know, like you were saying, they hold their breath. There's so much in fear. There is so much fear on this planet right now. How can we dispel this in a meaningful way? And don't tell me with love. I mean, yes, that is important, but
I think people need to gain a sense of community. That helped me, is like developing a community that, like, whereas initially we were all alone in what we learned, but then, like, as we talk more and more to family and go out and meet other people and become part of things and get out of that retreating and contracting that happens. I mean, I guess I'm a psychotherapist, so whenever I had a client who I couldn't help them make the changes, I always thought it was my limitation as a psychotherapist. I wouldn't just say, oh, they're untreatable. It's that I wasn't clever enough to know how to bring them along. I always viewed it in that way. And so we have to help these people who are glossy-eyed, and, you know, maybe the first 10 times they hear it, they don't believe it, but then they begin to put it together, and then you got 500 demonstrations around the United States yesterday for Tax Day. Thousands of people, hundreds of thousands around the nation now who are beginning to get it. And once you begin to get it, then you begin to see it more and more. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to, oh, chemtrails. And then you realize, yeah, you can see them. They're right in front of your face. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to grow exponentially. And it's important that this is our only hope, because we also need people on the inside. See, many of them, in a way, it would be interesting to hear their stories, what happens to them and how they get involved in it, and they didn't want to be, or they're intimidated or blackmailed or threatened and fearful and so on. So many of these people on the inside, in a way, would like to break rank. They didn't know what they were part of. You know, they were just some minion doing a piece, and then they're stuck in it. And now if the truth comes out, they have so much to fear. But we need these people who are going to start turning around on the inside, and who are on the inside. We need to change their hearts, that they have remorse of conscience. See, that's one of the first aspects of awakening of the heart, is the experience of remorse of conscience. And a lot of these people need to go through that, and you know, we need to appeal to the people in our military and police. You know, because most of the servicemen and officers, you know, these are men and women with integrity and go into the services to serve their countries and community. It's only later that it becomes perverted and corrupted. So we need to, you know, it's our only hope, is this mass movement of awakening.
Yeah. See, we're thinking along the same lines. I was about to mention the military, and you know, the excuse that I hear through the grapevine is that they're concerned about losing their pension. The pension funds, folks, have been stolen. I don't care what industry, what level of the school system you're working in, or in any area, the The insurance funds have been stolen. The pension funds have been stolen. And
that also means, like, if we take our nations back, you get your pension monies back. See, that's what we're doing. We're going to turn it around, and we're going to take the wealth of the nations back.
Yeah.
If the United States took back the assets of the terrorists who control your country, it would pay off your national debt. In fact, that's this proposal that was revealed to me by 2012. I think all the nations of the world should have their national debts reduced to zero. The wealth of all the elites should be taken from them. The Monetary Fund should be dissolved. All the nations let off. And we just take the wealth of the world back from these elites and put them in detention centers for all the crimes they've committed against the human race.
Yeah, and we must be also clear on the fact that the wealth they have is what they've stolen, primarily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if there's someone's, and it's like someone has stocks in some company and such, and, you know, they weren't part of these psychopathic schemes. Like, though, we would restore people's wealth. We would restore the monies to pension monies. We would restore the money to the healthcare system. Now all the government continually wastes billions of dollars through war, through all the security and extra police forces. None of that produces anything useful for human existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's continual waste of money. And all the healthcare methods now, they waste tons of money through the healthcare and the inoculations, which then creates all these diseases. We waste so much money in every aspect of our society because of our governments are so incompetent and corrupted.
Yeah. Now, I'm recalling an inscription on most police vehicles. They call them cruisers. they say to serve and protect. I'm sure you've seen this if you've ever been to
Los Angeles. Yeah, we have it too in Canada, yeah.
Okay, who are they serving and what are they protecting? What do you think? Because the way I see it, I mean, they've militarized the police. Many, not all police agencies, and not all within even the most corrupt, but many are very corrupt now. The fact that these crimes that you're describing, and you're describing a multitude. This isn't a list of 20 crimes. This is maybe 10 million people involved in each crime. Every time. You know, start adding those numbers up and you get to, you know, several hundred million people or several hundred million crimes being committed on a regular basis and being served and protected by what's now called law enforcement. They used to be called peace officers. Or officers of the peace, and judges used to be called justice of the peace, but that got changed, didn't it? The judges turned into bankers for the private trust pools and corporations that are part of the derivative hedge fund market, which is played in the stock market knowingly, with the SEC participating in the fraud in conjunction with our Treasury and in conjunction with the foreign entity called the Federal Reserve and the foreign entity called the IRS. Okay? That connection is there. Now, so you're looking at criminality through and throughout the Justice Department and all of the subservient bureaus that keep it functioning. Now, we hear
especially at the top levels, like the higher up you go in the echelon, the more corrupted individuals are. And that's why I still believe the masses of our police officers and intelligence community and military people are still at an honorable level. If we could wake them up to their position. The police now, they serve and protect the criminal class. That's what they do now. But most officers, that's not what they wanted or intended in a way. So it's like retaking your oaths. You have that movement in the States where people retake their oaths, the Pledge Keepers or something. You familiar with that?
Yes, yes.
That's very important. where they have military officers and police, like, reinstating their oaths and getting back to the Constitution and remember. It's like people got to wake up and remember ourselves, and then we need to take our services back. But meanwhile, the criminal elite control, like, our intelligence and police services. They do. I mean, when does the CIA ever catch a criminal for any major crime? They never do. They cover up the crimes. You mean the CIA can't solve 9/11? Like, it's staring you in the face.
Well,
millions of people know.
They're committing the crimes.
Yeah, they are. And any time you got honorable officers come forward, they're shut down or they're fired or intimidated or murdered.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
It's a reign of terror from within their own ranks. And these people, the shadow government is largely invisible, so people, you know, everyone kind of fights it alone and surrenders alone. That's why we need a mass awakening.
Well, I know you see this coming. You're giving it 2012 as a likely time. I'm wondering if you're thinking December 21st, 2012. But,
well, not really, yeah. It's funny, when I first learned about all this 2.5 years ago, I went through a period of, like wild mystical experiences, and this material, I felt the wrath of God move through myself, and feeling that we were in end times, and the wrath of God, the sinfulness of what's happened to our nations, and it just came through to me that the next 6 years until 2012 was going to be this period of transition. By 2012, we're either going to have an Orwellian nightmare world, or we're actually going to have a new age of abundance and health and peace throughout the world. It's going to turn one way or the other. And I feel we're at critical period. I think something major is going to happen this year, within the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Escalations of the war. If Israel, you know, commits another mass murder, you know, Israel hasn't mass murdered people for almost 2 months, so they must be getting chomping at the bit a little bit. You know, they love to mass murder people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, you see the media, like, you look at Israel. There they are. They have 200 to 400 nuclear weapons. They've never abided by any of the UN resolutions about nuclear proliferation. And then they're going to bomb Iraq in case they might get a bomb. Okay, but it's sold through the media that people actually think, oh yeah, they have a right to defend themselves. We don't realize how insane what you're saying is. You know,
mm-hmm.
Israel is governed by, you know, a criminal psychopathic elite. They were involved in committing of 9/11. You know, it was done by Israelis and Jews more than Arabs and Muslims. Now these same, it's not just Israelis, it's, as you said before, it's a whole British-Israeli thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a complex of elites. It's not just, it's a complex structure to it, you know?
Yeah. And there are those out there, and you know, some may accuse me of being this way, but from time to time I will focus, and I guess it's my perception of who's pulling the strings at any given time. There's always this underlying Masonic theme. You always have these secret, super secret societies that operate out of certain universities around the world, and through the churches, and it so happens that the Vatican is not mentioned, I don't think, frequently enough. They play a role. Now, when you say that, when one says that, a non-Catholic says that, then the Catholics perceive you're attacking their religion. See, people aren't getting the point. And as much as we try to explain these things in specificity so that people understand, we're not attacking the people. It's this system that's representing itself as our leaders, you see, as the leaders of the planet, as if they have some special dispensation to own this planet and to own us. You know, and I take issue with that. Now, as we're looking for solutions, do you agree that we have to be careful not to just repeat the same mistakes? In other words, I'm not saying that in a so much in a general sense as I am. If we're going to arrest these people, if we're going to cause these people to have to be accountable for what they've done and what they're doing now, and maybe what they are even planning on doing in the next weeks and months and a couple of years to come, or if we're going to hold them accountable to those things, doesn't it make sense at that point that we create something different? We create a different system. And if we did, in our closing moments, could you describe what that might be? I'm sort of forcing you into
that. Well, I mean, I do very much think we don't want to grab them and cut their heads off and hang them and do all these things, because it creates all these ghosts and demonic elements who just come back and repeat the same patterns. They need to be put safely away and be provided for in FEMA camps. And then they need to, as they come forward and speak the truth before the world, like this would all be publicized, people would be hearing the confessions of all of these people, and as they revealed more and more of what they, then they would be allowed to reintegrate into society. And certain people would have to stay within the camps for the rest of their life.
This system being corrupt, do you agree that we have to create something different, something new?
I don't think, if you had abided by your own laws, you would never have had these problems in our country. Everything these people are doing are criminal things. The government's committing treason.
There's a bit of a dichotomy when you say abide by our own laws, because these laws that have been created are to stifle us from being who we are. You see? So we have a dichotomy there.
Yeah, I mean, you would get rid of a lot of all these injunctions that they've been bringing in. But I meant, if you got back to your fundamental laws, it's illegal. I mean, you know, the whole administration of the government has committed war crimes in Afghanistan and Iraq. Those are war crimes, crimes against humanity. The people who are spraying you with chemtrails, these people are administration of toxic substances against people's wills. These people need to be imprisoned for doing this. These people who put poisons into your food, they need to be imprisoned. You know, they murder people through inoculations, and there's never any justice. They drag it out through the courts. They pay out a few billion dollars even in compensation, but they've made an extra $10 billion. You know, all these people need to be held accountable for all their crimes, and they need to have their wealth stripped from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All these companies, Monsanto, the complete assets of Monsanto should be seized. And then that doesn't mean everybody who works for Monsanto should be in jail. Like, you don't want to do that. You want everybody to keep their job, but you just turn it around, the industries around. And you know, it's only at senior levels. Like, most people in these companies, they didn't want to get into what they got into, most of them. If they had a chance of getting out, they would.
Yeah. I see where we are and you know, resolving these problems. And I'm not saying we have to cut the heads off of these people. But I'm you know, you take the gloves off and you confine them. And you put them in a situation where they have to be accountable for what they've done. Now, that said, and let's say that the Constitution of the United States as a foundation, including the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, should, in principle, be enough to cause this country to be the great country it was. But keep in mind, and I've brought this out on the show many times, that there was a ruse behind how that was done. It was done to make it possible to do what they've done. You see, they didn't show all the cards. There were secret agreements that were made, and they gave, this was all for public consumption, is what I'm saying, these documents, because God gave us some commandments. God set the laws of the universe before us. And God has been forever, since man has been on the face of this earth, trying to communicate with us through the heart, telling us who we really are, so that we will come into the fruition of knowing our creative abilities. What would be wrong with creating something along those lines as opposed to these pieces of paper that are just as worthless as a Federal Reserve note or a derivative or a hedge fund? This is all illusion is what I'm getting at here. Let's look at the fact that this has all been a big illusion, and you can go back 450,000 years. We've had nothing but illusions on this planet.
Yeah,
that's where I'm coming from. I'm not at all arguing with what you're saying, but I am at a place in my personal realization of what has to be done, that we must create something from what is already within us. It's not in a book. It's not on a piece of paper. It's in our hearts. And we all have it there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's the heart's doctrine. It those of us upright of heart, that's in early Christian terms, people who are upright of heart, like we need to be morally outraged with what's been done, and we need to restore justice and live up to the high ideals of America. In a way, I think your structure of government and such would have been fine if there hadn't been this conspiracy going on that made it all a lie over the past 100 years. Not the Federal Reserve, like that whole fiasco, how the Federal Reserve took over printing of money, like that was a complete fraud. And it was hidden from people, so people didn't grasp it. But now that's getting into public awareness. I mean, I still think in many ways that in a way our systems would have been okay if we had actually enforced the laws. Because these people who are doing all these cruel things, they should be in jail for their crimes. So the laws are there to imprison them. I mean, what they're doing is treason, bank fraud, mass murder, accessories after the fact, mass murder. I mean, everyone in the mainstream media could easily be imprisoned for accessory after the fact to mass murder of 9/11. And now they're all part of this conspiracy to commit mass murder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people have committed all kinds of crimes. All kinds. It's so innumerable. The Rockefeller, you could list all the crimes he's committed.
Well, that's certainly the path of what I'm saying. That's not the path that we want to follow. Okay. And they used their system, which they created, as the means to do that. Now, we should have a gold-backed currency or a metals, precious metals-backed currency, number one. And people should be permitted and under the laws of God and in a free will universe of sovereign beings, all belonging to the ultimate all of all creation. If we could just get our hands and our minds and our hearts wrapped around that concept, that would solve our problems. I certainly don't think that trying to keep this system alive with different players running it is the tune.
No,
that we,
no, it has
that
to
we
be
want to hear.
Yeah, you can't within, like, both parties are owned by these people, even though there might be change within the parties itself, beginning at the grassroots level, like where Ron Paul began to rise during the presidential race, and his people through the country started trying to bring him into the conventions. I mean, I think change can come from within still. I mean, we need to keep up all these different avenues. We can't, we need to be beating 100 drums here, like, there's so many avenues on which we have to maintain our attack and bringing out the truth, exposing them, suing them, charging them as we can.
Mm-hmm. When you mention Ron Paul, what comes to mind is we had a Ron Paul a number of years ago. His name was Ross Perot. You remember him?
Yeah.
And he talked about what he called this great big sucking sound. And that big sucking sound that he described, that was my impersonation of him, by the way.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I got it.
he, you know, it's the trillions of dollars that they've been stealing. I mean, he knew what was going on. In fact, they had sent him over to Vietnam with Bo Greitz. They were going to look for some MIAs there, and they saw what was being done. Some of the people that they found were working in the drug trade. They had been forced in, you know, like slaves, into being part of the illegal drug smuggling industry. And, of course, that's one of their biggest cash cows.
Yeah.
And that's their reason for being in Afghanistan. There was no threat from anybody in Afghanistan.
No.
They wanted to control the poppy fields. And
yeah.
they ran
well, I mean,
the
I think things like that, there are multiple reasons. You know, it's not just one. I mean, there's the poppy, it's the oil pipelines, it's
well,
the military basis, it's extending Israeli power into the Middle East. It's all of those simultaneously. But yeah, it's huge to them. I mean, now it's come out, CIA's been the biggest drug importer into the United States for the past 50 years. And the whole time that's going on, they have this great big fraudulent war against marijuana use, which is one of the most valuable medicinal herbs you could possibly take. It's better than all the antidepressants and anti-anxiety agents of all the petrochemical pharmaceuticals. It's better than people, you got 40% of the American population on Prozac, they should be smoking marijuana. It's a natural herb. It has all kinds of medicinal values for people. Okay, so the whole thing, it's like everything is corrupted. You know, you just change your laws, let people smoke marijuana. That's one thing I would change. I think it's a herb that has huge healing potential for people. And get rid of so much alcohol, which they are putting more and more poisons into.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say you worked in the prisons for 30 years. I'm sure you probably saw your share of marijuana smokers there.
Well, no, actually, in the Canadian system, no one, I never met a single person incarcerated for marijuana possession or use. I mean, I saw for heavier drugs, but in Canada, we've always been more moderate in how we treated the use of marijuana. I never saw anyone, and I only worked in the provincial system, which is lesser crimes, 2 years, less a day sentences. But no, there's hardly anyone in there for marijuana. But, I mean, in the States, you're much more militarized, and the prison industry is it's a huge industry now. So, you know, it's terrible what's been done in the States. I mean, you're more advanced, I believe, in having a police state than we are in Canada, even though it's just more hidden in Canada.
Yeah. Well, it was always hidden here. It's just that they've gotten more paranoid because they've come to the realization that they've got to bring this country to its knees to put their plans into full swing. And they probably didn't think as many people would wake up and their actions right now are indicative of their fear that we are waking up. So we'll continue. I was more
There's a new revolution on. Like, this is happening around the world. I mean, and this is a worldwide movement. It's not just in the States. It's in Canada. You know, I joined the Canadian Action Party. I'm involved in it now. And, you know, we want investigation of 9/11. We want investigations of the RCMP, CSIS, and military intelligence. All the people at the tops of these services need to be retired from their positions, you know, so that we have an honorable services in our country. You know, we want to stop the chemtrails, fluoridation of the water, inoculations, all of these things. Like, just no parties do anything useful. You know, it's so amazing. There you are in the States. You have terrorists who are spraying poisons on people across your nation from the skies, and no one can do anything about it. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, you know, what comes to mind, too, is the UN, okay? And it's supposed to be this governing body. And we know from past experience that it's a very corrupt body when you talk about programs like Oil for Food, for example, and Kofi Annan skimming off money and probably going out and selling the food on the black market. You know.
The United States is another organization which has turned completely criminal. I mean, they've been criminal from the very beginning.
Yes.
I mean, the land was donated by the Rockefellers.
Yeah,
you know,
it
was the same cabal of Zionist fascist people who set up the UN, and they've made a mockery of the ideals of the UN, and they brought all the Nazis into the World Health Organization. I mean, here's a UN, they have such high ideals, but there they are spreading poisons through vaccinations to, you know, depopulate parts of Africa and you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Again, it's another organization which needs a complete fresh start at it.
Yeah.
They're criminal. I mean, no one in the UN admits 9/11 truth, and they all know. People, all these people know. Like, the media knows 9/11 was an inside job. They all know. The military know. All the top people know.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So it's time for people to start taking responsibility then, isn't it? For their own lives first. You know, you can't see the bigger picture if you're not seeing your own localized version the same way. I'll tell you, you know, I can go and talk to my neighbor. I don't need the mayor to do that for me or the city council. I can go knock on my neighbor's door, or I can walk up to my neighbor while my neighbor's doing yard work. And we can certainly communicate with people who live close to us during our normal activities, our everyday living experiences. It doesn't have to be a formalized thing. And you know, all of that is being challenged. It's under assault right now through all this insane legislation that we have to have a civil, I can't even think of the term they use. You know, yet you have to have a society based on civil tattletales, you know.
Yeah.
That's really what they mean to say. You know, we want the citizens to be our spies now. While they have us busy and a sleight of hand trick so they can steal more trillions of dollars. You know, it's time
and making people think there are all these terrorists in your society when the whole time no one makes any effort to capture the real terrorists.
Yeah.
Right? Because of the real terrorists, like, who do people, you know, like the brown shirts, Obama's army of brown shirts. I mean, it's insane. It's like Hitler's youth. The whole time, we need to catch the real terrorists. And the real terrorists are the people who committed 9/11 and committing all these acts against the American people. They're spraying you with chemtrails. Those are terrorists spraying you with chemtrails. It gives people Alzheimer's. One out of two families in the U.S. now has someone who has Alzheimer's. You know, you've got 1 million children with autism. 1 million. I'm a clinical psychologist. 25 years ago when I began studying, like 1 in 20,000, if that, autism was so rare. Now you've got 1 million autistic children in the States. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's
sorry.
I was going to say it's about 1 in 165 right now, and maybe that figure's climbing. That's from.
Oh, I heard it was 1 in 85, 86.
Well, it's probably climbing.
In autism. Yeah. But and Alzheimer's, I mean, it's huge now, and because that's the main thing caused by chemtrails, because they got aluminum and barium salts in them, and aluminum deposits are a major thing, causes little infarcts in cerebral vascularization. But,
well.
Anyway, it is, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, we don't know the answers to how to deal with it, because if we did, we would have dealt with it, and we haven't. You know, so we're struggling. It's so overwhelming, it almost immobilizes us. But it is important to remember that in the balance here, what we need to do is to save our own souls.
Mm-hmm.
And to do nothing, you lose your soul. Or you become part of this. You lose your soul to it. So So in a way, we, in these end times, we have to be brave and learn to live with integrity to attain our soul. And in a way, that's more important than what happens physically. In a way, we need to live with a certain uprightness of heart. And then we've got to start speaking out. We've got to try to restore justice on this planet. So it shocked me, like, Christians, what's happened to the Christian church? It's unbelievable. It breaks my heart to see it. You know, they believe, you know, thou shalt not kill, and then they support these crimes, and 1.5 million people murdered in the Middle East now. It's just, you know, where are the Christians? You know, they've corrupted the churches, the synagogues. You know, it's just terrible.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, Christopher. I would like to go on for a couple more hours. This has been a very interesting conversation. And I hope you'll come back to the show soon.
Yeah, anytime, Don. You know, I'm often listening to your shows. I most enjoy your shows.
Well, yeah, you've called in a few times. You know, we welcome your call anytime you want to add to the conversation.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I didn't want to seem like too much of a bug.
Never.
No, I didn't think so, but yeah.
No,
well, I'm often online there. I enjoy your show a lot, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I also listen to your show, and I appreciate you having me on there to share my research. I am driven, to put this message out that we're staring an illusion in the face, trying to make something real out of it. And if we just for a moment step back, and in my own personal life, I was able to do that for about 6 weeks. It wasn't comfortable, but I was focused totally in the heart. And it confirms the message that you bring forward. And I realized really how simple this is. It's not as complicated as we think. We're pointing out all the different aspects, the different manifestations of everything that's coming out of the illusion. You see? It's one big illusion. And it's compartmentalized just like we're one group of people who are really souls. And all one part of the great spirit of the universe. We're part of the creator, and he has blessed us with this gift of individuation called the personality, inhabiting a body for the purpose of experience. And we can create a much better experience. I certainly don't intend to lose my soul and come back as a rock. I spent this life turning over rocks, looking for the snakes and the other reptilians that live underneath those rocks. I don't want to be a rock. And I think in terms of the laws of karma, that's what you're saying. If we lose our soul, we still may exist, but we will exist and have far less than we have right now, just because we've abused the privilege.
I don't believe everybody automatically has a soul. I think it's something you have to attain, and that some of these people, they become lunatics, and they'll pass to the moon, or they'll be pass to hell worlds. Whereas I think those of us who want to attain to ourself can pass into the sun, which is the greater body of radiance. I believe we come from the sun. We ourselves are extraterrestrials having a terrestrial experience. So we have to attain to our souls. Thanks very much, Don, for having me on.
Well, thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to having you back soon. I'm booked up for the rest of this month, but I'll be sure to get you on in May.
Yeah, great. And I'll get you on my show sometime. We'll discuss those Obama pictures. I'm very curious. I'll get back to that and look at those.
Oh, yes. Yes, very. You've got to check those out.
Yeah.
That's at Ken Adachi's site, educate-yourself.org.
Could I mention my website is www.zeropoint.ca, spelt out zeropoint.ca, and have some very valuable books for people interested in some of the science of the soul.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Don. Thanks, BBS. I'll let you go.
Okay, you have a good evening. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Dr. Christopher Holmes, and we'll have him back again soon. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow for another great show. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.